Okay, hello everyone. Especially if you're new, hello. And especially if you're from Royal Holloway, hello. Who's from Royal Holloway? Give a wave. Woo! Denise's heart is in Royal Holloway, as is Emma's. Although Emma works there, but. So it's really great to have you guys here. And, you know, sometimes we can wonder, what is being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus all about? Does anyone wonder that? You know, what are the key things? What is the main things? You know, we as Christians can get like wound up by all different kinds of things. And we kind of like wonder, but is that what it's really all about? Is that what the kingdom is about? Has anyone here ever grappled with those questions? Yep, some nods. You know, these are the kind of things, sometimes I find myself asking these questions as a church leader. You know, what is it all about? Is it about having the best church ever, which maybe has the biggest numbers? Beth's nodding at me. Yes, it is. You know, the best PA system, the best meeting leaders, speakers, worship leaders. Aaron saying, yeah, that's what it's all about. The best children's workers, the best website, the best marketing, the best leaflets. Of course, we do have some of these things. Is that what it's all about? You know, what is it all about? What is the kingdom of God all about? And these are the questions that we can find ourselves asking. And this is a dilemma that Paul was speaking into in Romans. So I want you to get your Bibles out or your smartphones. And go with me to Romans, which is in the New Testament, chapter 14. So Romans chapter 14. And I'm going to read quite a long passage. You know, the key verse we're going to be looking at is verse 17, but I just want to read the context that we find it in. And I'm going to read it from the New Testament for everyone, which is a really great translation. So, Romans 14. Welcome someone who is weak in faith, but not in order to have disputes on difficult points. One person believes it is all right to eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. The one who eats should not despise the one who does not. And the one who does not should not condemn the one who does, because God has welcomed them. Why do you think you are to judge someone else's servants? They stand or fall before their own master, and stand they will, because the master can make them stand. One person reckons one day more important than another. Someone else regards all days as equally important. Each person must make up their own mind. The one who celebrates the day does so in honor of the Lord. The one who eats does so in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. The one who does not eat abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. None of us live to ourselves. None of us die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. That is why the Messiah died and came back to life, so that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. You then, why do you condemn your fellow Christian? Or you, why do you despise a fellow Christian? We must all appear before the judgment seat of God. As the Bible says, as I live, says the Lord, to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall pray, give praise to God. So then, we must each give an account of ourselves to God. Do not then pass judgment on one another any longer. If you want to exercise your judgment, do so on this question: how to avoid placing obstacles or stumbling blocks in front of a fellow family member. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, except that some things do become unclean for the person who regards them as such. For if your brothers or sister is being harmed by what you eat, you are no longer behaving in accordance with love. Don't let your food destroy someone for whom the Messiah died. So don't let something that is good for you make other people blaspheme. God's kingdom, you see, isn't about food and drink, but about justice, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Anyone who serves the Messiah like this pleases God and deserves respect from other people. So then, let's find and follow the way of peace and discover how to build each other up. Don't pull down God's work on account of food. Everything is pure, but it becomes evil for anyone who causes offense when they eat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or anything else which makes your fellow Christians stumble. Hold firmly to the faith which you have as a matter between yourself and God. And when you've thought something through and can go ahead without passing judgment on yourself, God's blessing on you. Okay. Did you get that? Was it a bit confusing? Maybe. So I just want to give you a little bit of background to this passage. So Paul is writing to the church in Rome in the first century, and the church there was made up of both Gentile, so non-Jewish believers, and also Jewish believers. And as I'm sure you know, some of us are aware that Jewish believers had traditions and culture that they brought with them. So they had foods that they weren't allowed to eat, or they, because of the type of meat it was, or because of the way that the food was prepared. And also within that culture, there were certain foods that were associated with pagan worship. Does that make sense? So food and what kind of food you could eat or not, or associations with it, was a massive deal, both for the Jewish believers and also for the Gentile believers. And Paul is saying here in this passage that mature believers will have come to an understanding that actually, because of what Jesus has done and because of our freedom and life in Jesus, you can eat whatever you like. Yeah? You know, it's actually fine. But alongside that, for those who actually with their conscience believe that they shouldn't eat certain foods, that those who know that they're free shouldn't eat those foods in front of other people and actually cause those who have a different belief to stumble. Does that make sense? And the reason that Paul is saying that, you know, you should regard each other in a loving way in that and not make a big deal about it, is because he's saying, ultimately, these issues about what you do and don't eat are a matter for your own conscience. They're not what the kingdom of God is about. And he also talks about that in terms of some people who celebrate certain days as being special. But in their hearts, they're doing it because they believe that that's a good and helpful thing to do before God. And other people don't feel that same need to have to celebrate those days. And again, those are neutral issues. That's what Paul is saying. It's a matter for their own conscience. It's actually not what the kingdom of God is about. Does that make sense? You with me? So, you know, we're doing this theme, looking at the kingdom of God. And, you know, the kingdom of God is the space here on the earth where God's will is getting done. And his will is good, it's kind, it's compassionate, it's governed by love, not by control. So Romans 14 verse 17, which is our key verse today, New Testament for everyone, I love that translation by Tom Wright. Just reminds you again, God's kingdom, you see, isn't about food and drink, but about justice, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the New Living Translation says it slightly differently, but almost the same. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then some other translations, instead of justice or goodness, use the word righteousness. So we seem to get an idea of what Paul is trying to convey to us. Now, those of you who have maybe been to Africa, or maybe even some parts of America, or I'm sure other countries around the world, will know that in some of those places, particularly in Africa, Christian believers would have a real strong belief that as a Christian, you shouldn't drink alcohol at all. You know, that's what they believe, and that's really, really important to them. Now, in this country, a lot of Christians would think it was fine to drink alcohol, with the caveat that, of course, it does clearly say, don't get drunk on wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I expected a reaction, but anyway, I'm just emphasizing that point. But, you know, when I have been in Africa and I'm hanging out with Christians there, it would be incredibly insensitive of me to be drinking alcohol in front of them, because for them, that is the wrong thing to do. Does that make sense? That's like an example of what Paul's talking about. And so out of love and honor and respect for my fellow believers, I won't do that. And even talk to them about it, because it's not necessary, because it's not actually what the kingdom of God is about, and there's no point getting het up about it. Now, I was trying to think of what might equivalent be in our culture, so I've come up with something. I'm not sure if it's the right thing, but I'll just test it on you. I was like thinking, what would offend us? And I thought of something. I just imagine now, you know, my knowledge of in American culture, I'm sure it's not in all parts of American culture, but in some parts of American Christian culture, is that some like church leaders, when there's like a government election happening, they might endorse a particular candidate because they feel like that person. Aaron's nodding. Does he know? That's good. I'm on the right thing. Great. I'm not making it up. Because, you know, they would feel with all integrity for them that they've thought about who is the person that they would feel that God would want in that role. And they're endorsing that person, encouraging people in their church to therefore vote for that person. And it would be done with authenticity and integrity and a belief that that is the right thing to do. Now, just imagine at the Journey, we invite over a wonderful American speaker to come share with us. And we're about to have our next general election. It's about 4 years' time. Is that when the next one will be? And this speaker comes and says to us, you should vote Conservative because Theresa May is a Christian and she is therefore God's person for the job. Now, some of us here might be absolutely fine with that, but some of us would probably be extremely offended, not because they're saying vote for Conservative, but some people will be offended because of that. some won't. But because the idea that someone in a position of power is using it to tell us who to vote for, that as Christians we all have to vote for this particular person, we would more be of the point that we want to encourage people to think about it and make a decision based on their own thought process and getting all the information. Does that make sense? And so that would be a stumbling block for us. And we might totally not listen to anything else that speaker said, because we'd be like, how dare they say such a thing? Who do they think they are telling us who to vote for? so, you know, that's a silly example, but it's the kind of things, and it comes back again. Is that what it's all about? God can use governments, but you know what? The kingdom of God can happen irrespective of governments. Yeah, I'm not saying that God can't use them for good to bring his kingdom, but his kingdom coming is not dependent on who the government is, which is always a reassuring thing to be aware of. Sorry, that probably sounded really wrong. I probably shouldn't have said that, but maybe I should. No government is perfect. You know, even food can be an area of judgment in our culture. You know, some people may choose to be vegetarians or vegans based on all different kinds of reasons. Maybe it's to do with animal welfare, concerns about the environment or health things. And those different areas are really important areas of concern. And, you know, God's kingdom is about justice, and justice issues around environment and health and animal stuff is good. But whether or not we eat meat or not isn't ultimately a kingdom issue. Yeah? And so, you know, if we have to be mindful of those things in the choices that we make. So which areas are you judging fellow Christians on? What have you, stroke us, made a thing that isn't really what the kingdom of God is about? You know, that's quite a big question to ask, because I'm sure that I and you have blind spots in that. But it's worth considering, because that verse, let's just read it again. Romans 14 verse 17, God's kingdom, you see, isn't about food and drink, but about justice, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, what does this goodness, justice, righteousness, peace and joy look like? So I'm just going to think about that for just a few moments. You know, the goodness, justice, righteousness of the kingdom of God can look like Jesus. Sorry, Emily, I'm just looking at you. You look a bit worried. Looks like Jesus, you know, when presented with a woman who's been brought before him because she's been caught in the act of adultery. And in that culture, the punishment for that is to be stoned to death. He makes the point that these religious men who brought her before him for him to make an example of her or to test him, actually, what things have they done wrong? They're not without sin. And where's the man that she's been caught with? You know, Jesus makes that amazing statement, let him who's without sin cast the first stone. And we often, you know, that's often used. You know, he empowers her to go from that situation and live differently. He protects her. You know, the goodness, justice, righteousness of the kingdom of God can look like, you know, something that we're all very familiar with. William Wilberforce, who was a Christian, you know, giving his life to see slavery abolished. Or it can look like us showing kindness to the lonely, awkward person at work or at uni, wherever we are, who makes us feel uncomfortable. And but actually, they're just desperate for us to just show them some interest and invite them out for a coffee. Or not just maybe not us. It could be anyone. You know, the joy of the kingdom is the joy of the kingdom of God is like seen when Jesus tells us that story that many of us will have heard about the kingdom of God being like a wedding feast, this amazing celebration. And, you know, I was just thinking, some of us here last year went to Luke and Diana's wedding. Yeah. And, you know, that was just an amazing, joyful celebration. And the thing, every wedding is amazing, joyful celebration and wonderful time just celebrating people falling in love and all the future and the hopes of what that can be. But the thing that made Luke and Diana's wedding that even more joyful and special is that many of us had like walked with Luke through a time of incredible pain and brokenness with the circumstances that he'd been through, and to see him coming out of that, falling in love with Diana, being intoxicated with joy, falling in love with him and her with him, and just how you know, amazing that was. You know, to me it was such a picture I remember on the wedding day, just thinking, oh, this just feels like what the kingdom of God is like. And the joy that the kingdom brings. You know, many of us have heard of Eric Liddell, you know, beginning in mid 20th century or early 20th century, Scottish athlete, Olympic runner. You know, he said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. You know, that is the joy the kingdom of God brings. Or it's in our prayer meeting before this time when Lorraine was getting hit by the Holy Spirit and was crazy laughing, which was great. And, you know, that is where the joy comes. The peace of the kingdom of God looks like Jesus meeting a man who is tormented. He's chained up in the tomb, so like being chained up in a cemetery. He's out of his mind. He's not wearing any clothes. And Jesus comes, heals him, peace is restored to his life, he comes back to his right mind, gets clothed. I'm sure people provide him with clothes, and he's able to go home. He wasn't even able to live at home because he was so out of his mind, and tell people what God had done. That's the peace of God coming into a situation. Or it's Jesus teaching us to love our enemies. It's Jesus when he's on the cross and going through the most incredible pain that probably none of us will experience, still showing love and compassion and kindness to the two criminals next to him, hanging on fellow other crosses. You know, it looks like in Northern Ireland, when all what they call the Troubles were happening, IRA kidnapping a church leader, this happened, because they felt that they could trust him to negotiate with the government when they wanted to go for peace talks. It looks like us being people who are willing to listen and learn how to do conflict really well. Because there's nothing wrong with conflict. Conflict can be good, great things can come out of it, but learning it to do really well, to disagree well, to find resolution, and to not just use violence when we can't get our way. That's what some of what the peace looks like. So God's kingdom isn't about food and drink, but about justice, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to end now, but my message for us today is get rid of the add-ons. The kingdom of God is justice, peace, and joy. Get rid of the add-ons. The kingdom of God is justice, peace, and joy. And we're just going to spend a few moments praying. So if you want to, you might just want to close your eyes. And I just, as we're in this place, and we're just going to pray. And the Holy Spirit is here and he's speaking to every single one of us. And maybe there are things that the Holy Spirit is prompting us that we are making into a thing. Or we've believed that they're the thing that we need to add on. And actually the Holy Spirit is showing us they're add-ons. They're not what the kingdom of God is about. Or we've been judging other Christians for certain things. And in this place of prayer, as those things come to mind, there's an invitation to just before the Father, just give him that stuff. Give him the add-ons. Give him the things that don't really matter, that we're making to big deal. Give him those blind spots that we've had that the Holy Spirit's just shown us. And as we give the Holy Spirit those things, he gives us, or he shows us what his kingdom is about goodness, justice, righteousness, joy, peace. And he's releasing it into our lives this morning. It's not just words, but it's real and it's tangible. So let's just take a moment just to, maybe even in our mind's eye, we just want to imagine just physically giving those things to the Father who's standing before us with love and compassion, and in return just receiving back that justice, that righteousness, that goodness, that joy and peace into our lives, into our situations, into our church, into this village, into Royal Holloway, wherever we are. Lord, I thank you that your kingdom of God is far more wonderful than what we realise. And Lord, I pray for us as individuals and as a church community that you would teach us the ways of the kingdom, that you would reveal to us what the kingdom of God is about and the things that maybe we've mistakenly thought it's about, that you would expose those things and we would be able to lay them aside and actually busy ourselves and concern ourselves with your kingdom, what your kingdom's about, and bringing that. And Lord, right now, where we are needing your joy, to come into our lives, where we're needing your peace. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit, just to come and minister that deep into us, where we need to see your goodness, your justice, your righteousness moving in situations. Holy Spirit, we just welcome that. And we just know that you are a God who encounters us, and we expect you to change something even right now in our situation. And we just welcome you to do that. Just feel that for some of us here this morning, you know, maybe not even consciously, but actually our defenses are up. And the Holy Spirit is just gently saying, I want to bring my joy into your heart. I want to bring my peace into that situation. I want to show you my goodness. And there's an invitation to just let those defenses down. Just to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us right now where we're at. And so if you would like prayer about anything that I've talked about or anything else at all, I'm going to be standing over here and there'll be others around. And I really love to pray for you. If you want to ask a friend to pray for you, please do that. But let's not miss the opportunity that there is for the Holy Spirit to do something in us this morning, because he's present and wants to minister to us.